The sermon is based on a reading from the Holy Gospel from John chapter 12. To start, I read, though, the prophecy of that time, Palm Sunday, from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our salvation. Amen. Many things went on that wasn't Sunday, didn't call it Sunday at the time, but that beginning of the week of Holy Week, the day the crowds welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem. And it helps us to think about the activities that Jesus went about, even just on that day, to help us to remember and to hear from God's Word who this Jesus Christ is. He? Who is this Son of Man? What is he like? As the crowds were wondering even that very day. Well, John says the people were coming to the feast. If you remember the Old Testament week, Saturday is the Sabbath. So no extra traveling, no working on the Sabbath the day before. So when do you come to Jerusalem to celebrate, to make preparations to celebrate the Passover festival would be the day after the Sabbath. Well, is our Sunday. And so they were coming to Jerusalem. And as the gospel reading mentioned, so many had seen and had at least heard about, but many had seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead after he had been in the grave for 4 days. They're coming to Jerusalem, and Jesus comes as the Messiah, that is, the anointed one, the promised one, the chosen one. And everything that Jesus is doing throughout the ministry, which is pointed out in all the Gospels, is he fulfills the promises and the prophecies of the Messiah. He fulfills going into Jerusalem and having the crowds meet him, greeting him as their king, riding on a donkey. Fulfills Zechariah chapter 9 and other places in Scripture as well. And the crowds received him, and Barrett's answer is right. They were thinking of a king, but maybe he was a different king. He was a different king than many of them thought. And the crowd was big. Who knew what every single person was thinking about? And this will help us a bit in the sermon if we think about all these different ways that they might have been thinking about Jesus. He was the person who brought to life Lazarus. He was a healer. He was a teacher of God's word. He was a rabbi. He was a prophet. He was a king. They hailed him as a king. Now, you can imagine what the chief priests, who are always worried about their position of the Roman government and the Romans, might be thinking about. What is this huge crowd coming up today? And they're hailing him as a king, as a political king, as a leader who would take them out of oppression of the Romans. What was this Son of Man, this Jesus? So he comes into the temple area, and what does he do? Now think about it as a regular human being, a sinner, even though we're Christians and we have the Holy Spirit, at times we're given to temptations and sins. He comes into our holy place, established by God, rebuilt, grand, known throughout the world for its grandeur. And he clears out the cellars of the sacrifices. throws over the money changers' tables. This all happened on that day. You have made my father's house a den of thieves. It's a house of prayer. At least the ones that were making money, they weren't too happy, right? Maybe some others were happy. Yeah, they've been ripping me off. Jesus, somebody should have done this a long time ago. That, of course, offends many, maybe makes some happy. In Matthew, it's recorded that he receives the prayers of children, and Luke specifically says of babies. Babies, that's the term that Luke uses. And if Jesus, these children are too loud, they're making a noise, tell them to settle down. No, no, no. Have you not heard that out of the mouths of babies you have ordained praise? And he quotes Psalm 8. And he teaches that day in the temple. And he proclaims his messiahship, his kingship is to die. Okay, you cleared out the money changers. You liked the kids and babies singing as well as the other people. You raised Lazarus from the dead. You ride in like a donkey, fulfilling the prophecy. And now you say you're going to die. All these things he said that day and did that day. Not only that, God the Father speaks out loud from heaven, and they all heard it. That happened that day. And the crowds are confused, and they don't know what to think. And Jesus talks about being lifted up, and they knew he was talking about, that was a term for dying on a cross, which was a horrendous way the Romans put to death criminals, making public example of them. And he says, having ridden into Jerusalem, turning over the money changers' tables, welcoming the children and the babies, giving these teachings, he says he's going to die on the cross, and a voice says, I have glorified my name and I will glorify it again. And the crowds were confused, and they didn't believe and know what he meant. And did you catch that? What verse was that? It says in verse 36, which we read, when Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Their ideas were all over their board. They were confused. They didn't know what this was all meaning and leading to. They had heard God the Father speak, and he hid himself from them. In short, he's going to let things play out. He's going to do some more teaching that week. He gives a lot more teaching, and he is going to carry out his Father's will as it is to go about. The crowds aren't going to force him. He's going to be Messiah, a king that dies. Now, another thing that happened that day is these Greek worshipers. So they weren't Jewish background. They weren't Israelite background. They weren't fully proselytes, that is, special people that weren't Jewish, that were Gentiles, but they would come and worship, and they had given themselves over to many of the Jewish laws, Old Testament laws. But these are Greek worshipers. They come for the festival, and yet they're not fully committed to the Old Testament laws and ways yet. And they come to one of the disciples and say, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And that word "sir" there, sir is fine, but the translation is Lord. They were showing this great respect to Philip. And so can you take us to see Jesus? Now, they could see Jesus. The word is see there, but they want to talk to Jesus. Jesus is there everywhere. So they want to not only see Jesus, but they want to talk to Jesus. We would like to interview Jesus. We would like to spend some time with Jesus. And then nothing else is said about them, and Jesus then responds. What were those guys, and maybe gals, what were those people, those Greek worshipers, thinking Jesus was like? The crowds themselves were confused. They had different ideas. What were they looking for? Jump to today in our own lives. What are we looking for? Sir, we would like to see Jesus. There's different ideas about Jesus today as well, isn't there? When Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? We could say that same question today and we have answers all over the board. Well, I would like to see Jesus do some miracles, yeah. Like King Herod wanted. Let him raise my aunt. Let him do something. I want to be a little bit entertained. Or, you know, I heard this Jesus, he fed 5,000 men plus women and children in our Bible study. We learned that some commentators suggest that may have been a total of 20,000 people. He gives a lot of food and he gives a lot of things that can take care of us. Let him take care of me that way. And money and health. He heals a lot of people. Let him heal me too. That's the Jesus I'm thinking about. But as Jesus said often, this is temporary. He's the true bread that gives true life that lasts forever. Sometimes we see Jesus say, okay, if you help me in my career, if you help me with what I think is important, boy, I'll be a strong Christian. Don't you think the Pharisees, don't you think the chief priests, they wanted Jesus' honor too? Man, if this guy riding on this donkey and all these people are honoring him, if he would support our temple activities, don't you think we would really go far? And what does Jesus do? He goes in and turns over their money tables. Well, that was a failure. I guess he's not going to help them. But we ourselves, too, can think, well, when I get the success in life, then I know Jesus is blessing me. Then I know he's a Savior. Maybe that's the type of Jesus we might be looking for sometimes. Jesus, do you support the Zealots? Do you support the Pharisees? Do you support the Sadducees? Do you support the Roman government? Do you support those kind of halfway Jews like Herod? Which, literally, political parties in his day, which do you support? But because if you support us, man, that can really build us up. I am glad that our presidents say often, God bless America. I'm happy for that. But I also know, I don't know what that man was saying when he said that. I don't know what he was thinking. Which God was he talking about? The Muslims will hear one thing. The Christians will hear another thing. The atheists will hear another thing. Jesus is who he is. He is the Messiah that has come to save sinners, to be lifted up. And all these examples of what we might want Jesus to be or what the people at his time wanted Jesus to be, it's all human thinking, human thoughts, maybe sometimes with some godliness. But in the end, it's human thoughts, and it's not to save evil sinners, of which we are. Even if Pilate would listen, even if Herod would listen, he could be saved. And so Jesus is the Messiah who would be lifted up to save people and draw all to him. He is the Messiah who would be betrayed, denied. We don't often use this word but it is what happened in the scriptures. He was tortured, and he died a terrible death publicly, hanging on the cross. This is the Messiah. This is the will of God. And this is his Father's will. This is not human inclinations. This is not human ideas of how to be successful. This is his Father's will that he would go through this. Is that the kind of Jesus do you think those Greek worshipers were thinking of meeting? Sir, we would like to see Jesus. But this is the Jesus that John and the other Gospels show to us so clearly. The Jesus that would die for us and all people. This is the Jesus who called people to follow him, to believe in him, to trust in him. This is the Jesus who forgave Peter three times after he rose from the dead. He said to Peter three times, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And he calls Peter to be his own, and he calls Peter to follow him, even to death. This is the Jesus that calls all people to him, dying for us. Who knows what every single person in the crowd thought that day? Who knows what all we think one day or another? But this is the Jesus that we hear from God's word and learn from him, and the Holy Spirit convinces us of, that we might follow him and believe in him. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive us when we have our own ideas about Jesus and what he should be like, and help us to believe your word is written down by the apostles, that this Jesus was your Son sent to die and rise for us, to forgive us so that we might be your people and live not only in this life, but live with you forever. Help us to see this Jesus, which your word so clearly shows us. Help us to worship him, believe in him, follow him all the days of our life in this world. In his name we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.